Okay. Thankful that I've had this opportunity, and now I understand it's the last segment. It's 20 minutes, and I'm very happy once again to share with everyone in the room this information from the Bible. On the topic, is Jesus God? And I've been showing from the Word of God, the Bible, that Jesus is, that first of all, God must have certain characteristics, one of which is he must be eternal, he must be the Creator, he must be the Savior. Now, Mr. Whitley Sums it brings up loads of questions, but you'll notice that he did not respond when had said that Thomas simply was using an expression. I explained that when Thomas fell down before Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." Now, ignoring something does not change the clear teaching of it. And so there was a failure on his part to address that. Also, there was no response to the teaching of Isaiah 43:11 that Jehovah alone is Savior. And I spent quite a bit of time discussing how God states he only is Savior, and yet the Bible in the New Testament, without missing a beat, picks up and continues that Jesus is Savior. In one verse it can say God is Savior, and in the following verse it says Jesus is Savior. None of this was addressed. And I don't expect Mr. Lisson to address everything, but it would be nice if he did go back to these particular points and speak regarding them. Now, one thing I was happy that he brought up, in order that I might discuss it a little, is that the fact that God lives forever, and it was pointed out that Jesus died on the cross. How can this be? Is this a contradiction? No. As a matter of fact, it takes the eternal, everlasting God. It takes the full power and might of the Almighty God to be the Savior. Because the death that the Savior must die is not just simply a physical death. Yes, true, Jesus physically died on the cross, but that was not the payment for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the death that is in view is the second death of eternal damnation. In other words, in order to properly pay and satisfy the law's demands in paying the penalty for sin, the payment must be equal to an eternity in hell, or else it's no payment at all. And so the death that Jesus had to die was a second death, a spiritual death, where he had to come under the wrath of God. And God refers to this in many places in the Bible, where Jesus drinks of the cup of God's wrath. And so he suffered and died the equivalent of an eternity in hell for all those he came to save. Not every single person. There's a select number of people that God intends to save out of the human race, and he died for them. And so in dying this death, it was worked out in time, but Jesus, who is the Almighty, all-powerful God, was able to so bear the weight of the wrath of God that God could measure the cup to the degree of all those Christ came to save, having spent an eternity in hell. So justice was served. Now, Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," but at that point, his soul went to heaven. He told the thief on one side of him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." So he continued to exist and live. There's no cessation of his being, of his life. True, his body, the physical body, went into the grave and would not be resurrected until Sunday morning. However, his in the discussion at all. Well, again, since we're in this last segment, I have a few minutes in which to present the fourth and final point that I have been discussing, and that is the four characteristics of God. And the fourth, the first was He is everlasting. The second, He must be Creator. The third, that He is the Savior. The fourth is that God is Judge. He is the Judge of all the earth. He is the one with whom we have to do. He is the great God who is going to hold man accountable for everything we've done while upon the earth in these bodies. And the Bible is very clear that only God is judge. The Bible indicates that as men we're not to judge others. There is one judge and lawgiver, we read in James, and it's certainly not any man. God is the judge. In Daniel chapter 7, it says in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Now that is a picture of the judgment day, where God will be the Ancient of Days, and that's just language indicating He is from everlasting to everlasting, and so He is seated upon His throne, and the books are open. This picture is picked up in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, and let me read what it says in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know, God is no respecter of persons. And on that day of judgment, there will be all of unsaved mankind before him, whether they were presidents or kings or queens or princes, or whether they were paupers and beggars, or whether they were anywhere in between, the great and the small, all must give account to God on that day of judgment. So they're standing before God, and then I'll continue reading, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's a fearful thing how the Bible presents judgment day. It's a frightening thought for us who are alive upon earth, to know that it is only but our death that separates us from the next conscious thing we would be aware of standing before an angry God, standing before the Creator, standing before the God who we were obligated to obey and serve as creatures, and yet we fail to obey Him, we fail to serve Him. We did what we desired, and we broke His law. In many instances, we have offended Him. It's a terribly fearful thing to stand before God, who is spoken of as a consuming fire. And yet, what would you say? What would you say if I told you that the one seated upon the throne, the great God of the Bible, the angry, wrathful, terrible God with whom we have to do, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, gentle Jesus, yes, the loving picture of Jesus that we see as books are written, children's stories are written, and movies are made of a long-haired man who's always smiling, and the children gather around him, and he speaks softly, and he's kind. Of course, Jesus is kind and loving. However, there is a great miscarriage of truth in perceiving Christ in this way. For one thing, the Bible says we're not to make an image of God. We're not to make an image of stone or wood, or to make an image of film, or to paint a picture. And Jesus is God, and even Christians fail to recognize this truth, or they fail to follow it out to the degree that the Bible prohibits making an image of Jesus Christ. He should not be on a crucifix, he should not be on a picture in our living room, and he should not be on a film shown to people, because he is the God of the Bible. And we're not to make any image. We don't know what he looked like. We have no idea what he looked like. And so any image would be a false image anyway. But Jesus is the one seated on the throne. When we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The judgment seat of Christ, I thought the Ancient of Days was set upon the throne. I thought it was Jehovah God. I thought it was the Father. Well, you see, we cannot separate God. And remember, this Jesus is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the God-man, and so the Bible says, of course, that he is also the judge, because it is befitting God to judge his people. Jesus meets the qualification of eternal God as being the one who will judge sinners. Now look at verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That doesn't sound like the meek and mild, gentle Jesus that is portrayed by so many. No, that sounds like the awful, fiery, wrathful God of the Bible. And he is a terror to behold. And Jesus certainly will be shining in the fullness of his glory, the brightness of his countenance, which once was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration before the disciples, is only a glimpse of the terror that awaits those that stand before God, that must give account to Jesus Christ for how they live their lives and the sins they've committed. Jesus is the one who will determine your eternal destiny. Jesus is the one who is going to decide your eternal fate, whether it be heaven or hell. And all who stand before God on that day will end up in hell. They will be eternally damned under the wrath of God. Well, maybe, could it be a misprint? Did we not read this correctly? No, there's no mistakes in the Bible. There's no errors. Now, Mr. Wissam points out what he perceives to be contradictions. And in some cases, to be honest, I can't explain them. At least not right now, but I do know this. I do know this, that there are no contradictions in the Bible. What there is a lack of understanding on our part. We gloss over things. We casually read things. We quickly jump to conclusions, when what is required is to studiously sit down and study verse after verse and pray for wisdom and ask God to give us understanding. And then, normally, I can testify to this, that these verses open up and they harmonize and fit together, then we understand we've arrived at truth. But to pick a verse here and there well, God has written the Bible, so it's possible to do that. And anyone is privileged to do that. But beware, because the one who you are dismissing so easily is the one who is the judge of all the earth. Look at Romans 14 in verse 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Another statement. No misprint. No misprint. No. No. God is saying in the Bible that Jesus is the judge because Jesus is eternal God. And he it is with whom we must do. And you know, the Bible also says in Philippians 2, in the context of our whole discussion, which has to do with the question, is Jesus God? Well, let's look at this in Philippians chapter 2 and read from verse 5, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I believe Mr. Wiesom said that there was no statement that Jesus is equal to God. Well, here it is. And in Isaiah 40, God makes a point of saying in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Well, none except yourself. Only God, of course, can be God. And so Jesus, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and that's that humility that we've been discussing, that God would so lower himself to become a man and enter into the human race, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which would be the equivalent of that eternal damnation. Wherefore God, now let's listen to this, and I like to close with this thought. Let's see what God says in verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, someday, maybe not in this life, you know, I do hope and pray that some here might be convinced by the Word of God, and knowing the terror of the Lord, this is my desire, that one or two of you might be drawn by God's Word to Himself, and that you might know the joy of confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, as Thomas, who fell to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. That is what is in view here. And God says there will be the day when every human being, everyone who has been created in the image of God, as God said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. That man who will stand before God will be brought to their knees, and they will confess on that day that Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal God. And, you know, the Bible does the convincing. The Word of God does the convincing. There's, in Christianity today, the wrong doctrine that we have to win souls for Christ. Well, that's not possible. Only God can awaken a dead sinner. Only God can give life to someone who is spiritually dead. None other. I can share from the Bible, and I know that God works through His Word to quicken, to make alive. And that's why I'm so encouraged and pleased and so very happy that I've had this chance to share with you these extremely important truths from the Word of God, the Bible. Thank you very much.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you can hear me, right one, please. Can you hear me? Right one, please. He said, I did not respond to the Savior, that Jesus is the Savior and God is the Savior. He said also, I did not respond to that Thomas told him, my God. Okay. I did respond, but I'm going to respond again, so I would like everybody to pay attention. As I said before, God Almighty cannot die. We say Jesus is God and Jesus is our Savior. And He died for our sins, but God cannot die. When? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 40, God said, I live forever. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 3, God said, I am the living God. In the book of Timothy, it's the first letter of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 18, it said, God is the living God, and the only one cannot die. In the book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 17, also said that God Almighty cannot die. In the book of Jeremiah 10:10, said also that God is eternal, cannot die. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12, it said also God is eternal, cannot die. So now telling me that Jesus is God because Jesus is our Savior and He died on the cross for our sin? No. Actually, it is against you, not with you. Second, He said about Thomas. Thomas said, my God. Thomas said, my God. You said Jesus is God. Billions of Christians saying Jesus is God. Is it make Jesus God? Is it him God? You think Jesus God? Is it him God? No. Where in the Bible, Jesus himself said, I am God. With all respect to you, you failed to get a verse, one statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God. Anybody can say Jesus God. It doesn't make Jesus God. Jesus has to say it. Has to say, I am your God. I am your Lord. I am your Creator. Like God Almighty said in the book of Malachi, chapter 3:16, He said, I am the Lord. I cannot change. See? God Himself. God declared about Himself, I am God. The Jesus God would say, clear, said, I am your Lord. I am your Creator. I am God. Worship me, take me as your Lord. You can say Jesus God, doesn't make Him God. Thomas says Jesus God, doesn't make Him God. Paul, anyone can say Jesus God. It doesn't make Him God, because Jesus never said. You mentioned four bones. He said, Jesus is eternal. Eternal does not die. Eternal has no beginning, has no end. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus has beginning, Jesus has end. Second, you said, Jesus is created. You failed to give me only one statement or one thing in the Bible, on the gospel, that Jesus created anything, absolutely nothing. Or Jesus said, I am your creator. Or Jesus said, I am the eternal God. You keep saying Jesus is eternal God. When in the Bible Jesus said, I am the eternal God. Third, the Savior, I already explained this here. Fourth, you said Jesus, the one who will judge us in the last day. Jesus is the one who will judge us in the last day? How come? In the book of Mark, chapter 13:32, Mark 16:32, Jesus said, but of that day and that hour knows no man the last day, the day of judgment, not even the angels which are in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. The Father alone, the only one, knows the last day. If Jesus is the one who will judge us, why He has no knowledge about the last day? Why He doesn't know? He has no idea. He said the only one knows is the Father alone. And if He is God, He has to know. If He is the one who judges us, He has to know. If the last word was, they share the same knowledge. If the Father knows something, the Son has to know. But the only one knows, the Father alone. So how come in turn He will judge us in the last day? Also in the book of Matthew 20:20, the mother of Zebedee came to Him and said to Jesus Christ, Will you sit, my son, one your right hand and the other and your left hand, hand in the kingdom? And Jesus is the one who will judge us. So, yes, I will do it. I am the one who will judge us, judge you. I will put him in the kingdom of God. What Jesus replied? What Jesus said? Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 23, he said, it's not my integrity, but to sit on my right hand, and on my left, it's not my integrity, Allahu Akbar, but to sit on my right hand, and on my left, it's not mine to give. It's not mine. It's not mine. I am not the one who judge you. It's not mine. It's not mine to give. But it shall be given to them from whom it's been born, from my Father. The Father alone will put you in heaven and will put you in hellfire. Jesus has not to do with that. He's not the one who judge us, the Father. It's not mine to give. You said, you admitted, and everybody heard you, that this contradiction, you cannot explain it. You said you have to pray to God, and God Almighty will explain it to you, but you said you cannot explain it. So, what is it saying to us? What is it saying to us? When Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 37, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me, you have never heard his voice. Never, never heard his voice. At any time. But, in the book of Matthew, 3:17, the Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How come? Jesus said, you never heard his voice at any time. But the Bible said, the Father took from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son. It's clear. It means it's not the word of God, because it contradicts each other. And he said you cannot explain it. Yes, you cannot explain it, this contradiction. Now we try to get quoting verses is not from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude or anything, but it's funny. Why it's funny? I'll tell you why. You quote from Philippians, and you said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Listen to this. God Almighty also has highly exalted him. God exalted Jesus Christ. How can Jesus is God and God himself exalted him? Is this making sense to anybody? Is this making sense to anyone? God exalted him, and he is God. How come? How? Is it English? Is it Arabic? God exalted him. God Almighty. God exalted him. No, he is not God. Now, I will refute the Trinity and that Jesus is God, and also I will prove to you from the Bible that there are three different identities. Jesus is not the Father, it means he is not God, Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. First, listen to me. Jesus said, in John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, the Father has given, has his own life, so has he given to the Son, to have life in himself. Jesus without the Father is dead. His life is given by the Father. John 5:26. John 17:3. And this is life eternal. That they might know they, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said what he said. That there is only one God, the Father, and Jesus only, his messenger. They are not the same. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, For I am, came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the Father, but the will of him that sent me. Now, we have to will. The will of the Son and the will of the Father. The will of the Son subdued to the will of the Father. They are not the same. You will never find this in the Gospel, that the will of the Father submit or subdued to the will of the Son. It's not existing. It's not there. Because the Son is not the Father is greater than the Son, as Jesus said in John 14:28. Now 14:28 Jesus said, the Father is greater than me. They are not to equal. The Father is greater than him. John 10:29, the Father is greater than all. What meaning of all? Everything. They do not share the same greatness. They are not equal. The Father is God, the Son is not God. Luke 6:12. And it came to us, in those days, that he went, it means Jesus, he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night long in prayer to God. Jesus continued all the night long to pray to God Almighty. God prayed to himself. Now you tell me that Jesus prayed to the Father. Great. Do you have any verse in the Gospel? The Father prayed to Jesus? No. Because Jesus is God's slave and messenger. Because the Father is God, as Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 6:27, the Father is God. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 22:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now Jesus is supposed to be God, and Jesus is supposed to be forgive our sin, and he is on the cross, asking from another person, from a different person, to forgive the sin of them. It's not God. They are not the same. He asked from a different person. They are not the Father, not the Son. And the Son cannot forgive sin. He's asking the Father to forgive the sin. And the book of John, chapter 12:27. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled.
Okay.
And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He asked the Father to save him. He cannot save himself. He asked somebody else to save him. Save him. But for this cause I am to suffer. John 12:28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Now Jesus goes asking God Almighty on the heaven to glorify his name. And God on heaven said, I glorify my name or I will glorify it. They are not the same. Jesus on earth to whom the Father in heaven are both exhibiting in shout. They shout at this awesome. Is this God? Is Jesus God? They are the same. They are not the same. And by the way, here they said God Almighty took from heaven. But Jesus said in the book of John, in chapter 5:37, you never heard his voice at any time. How you can explain this? You never heard his voice at any time. But the Father, according to John 12:27, took. Okay. Now, Jesus said, and this is eternal life, but they must know today, you are the only true God in Jesus Christ. For your sin. That is the different version. The Father is God, Jesus is messenger. Now, in Mark 16:19, so then, after the Lord had spoken into them, he was lifted up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Jesus sat on the right hand of God. God sat God in the right hand and God in the left hand. Both of them sitting together, are both of them God. Can you see this? Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 12:10, and whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But to him that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and shall not be forgiven. Who is the son of man? Jesus. Jesus said, if you commit sin against Jesus, will be forgiven. If you commit sin against the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven. So they are not the same. Then Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. Now, from the mouth of Jesus Christ, Jesus refused Trinity. Jesus said, in the book of John, chapter 17:3, this is eternal life. To know you, you are the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Jesus also, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28, he said, and one of the scribes came, and having the baptism, reasoning together, and believed him, that he had answered them well. Ask him, ask Jesus Christ, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus, he's supposed to be the first commandment of all. I am your Lord. I am your God. What did he say? He took from Old Testament, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Listen, O Israel, the Lord, our God. Our God is your Lord. And Jesus said, the Father is greater than me, John 14, 28. The Father is greater than all, John 10:29. Jesus also, in the Gospel of Mark 13:32, about the last day, but on that day and that hour, nobody knows, not even the angels, which are in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. The Father alone knows the last day. When a man came to Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, 19:16, and told him, God Master, what can I do to gain eternal life? What Jesus said, what Jesus replied, yes, I am God, yes, I am your Lord and your God. Why you call me God, God? There is none God but one, he is God. Why can you call me God? There is none God but one, he is God. I am not God. God alone is God, I am not. Now, Jesus Christ, himself, admits that he is not God. And Jesus has God above him. Now, after Jesus left up to heaven, as the Christians say, and the last day, and the day of judgment, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, 12. What Jesus will say in the last day of the day of judgment? Him that overcomes, when I make him a bearer in the temple of my God, count how many times said my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from my God. Four times after he went to heaven, in the last day, he keeps saying that the Father is God four times. Him that overcomes, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from my God. Four times he said, my God, my God, my God, my God. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 17, John 20:17, he said, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. I am ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Jesus is my God. He is the Son of God and the Son of God. God is Father, God is my Father. We are equal to him. There is no difference. Now, in the book of 1st letter of Corinthians, chapter 15:28, 1st letter of Corinthians 15:28, it says, the last day, the day of judgment, where is Jesus in the last day? And when all things shall be subdued unto him, subdued unto God, submit to God, then shall the Son, the one you call him, he will judge us, the one you call him God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God, be subject unto him, that both all things unto him, that God be the all in all, in the last day, in the day of judgment, where is Jesus? Submit, subdued to God, a slave to God. Where is the Holy Spirit? Subdued, submit to God. And when we say this, shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also and can in that day be subject unto God, and to him that put all things under him, that God may be all known. God alone, without the Son, without the Holy Spirit. Everything exists, and the universe, subject, and subdued to God in the last day, where is Jesus Christ? It's not there, it's not existed. It's subject to God Almighty. Jesus said in the book of John 17:3, that is eternal life. To know God Almighty, you are the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one you sent. There is no God but God and Jesus His messenger. With all respect to you, you failed to give me one verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am your God, I am your Lord. You failed to give me one verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh. And I now invite you to submit to the will of the Lord, God Almighty, as Jesus said. This is eternal life to know God. He is the only God, and Jesus is messenger, and Muhammad is messenger, and all the messengers are messenger of God. So I invite you now to submit to the will of God and to become like Jesus, submitter to God. And this means in Arabic, Islam. Now it is your God.
Thank you for this enjoyable time. And we really enjoyed both parties in their segments. We look forward, inshallah, to have even more debates.